You're here, Jesus, you're here. All things are possible now that you're here. Jesus, you're here. Jesus, you're here. And all things are possible now that you're here.
Amen. If we open our Bibles this morning to Luke 21. And reading from verse 19. In your patience, possess ye your soul. And then Romans chapter 2. And reading from verse 6. Who will render to every man according to his deeds, to them who by patient continuance in well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life. But unto them that are contentious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation, and wrath. And Psalms 37, verse 34. Wait on the Lord and keep his way, and he shall exalt thee to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, thou shalt see it. And Psalm 27, verse 14. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Also Isaiah 40, verse 31. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, they shall walk and not faint. And finally, for our text, James 5 and verse 7. Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the parousia of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it, until he receive the early and latter rain. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear gracious Father, we are so thankful, Lord, to have this opportunity to come together to search thy word, Father, to worship thee in spirit and in truth. And Father, we've heard from thy word this morning several scriptures about learning to wait upon thee. We pray, Father, that as we see the promises coming closer, we have within our hearts an ability, not only an ability, but a desire, Father, to wait upon thee. For we ask it humbly in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. This morning, as we approach the end of Brother Branham's six-hour sermon, which has taken us 264 sermons so far since we began the study January 13th of 2008, I can with confidence say that it's taken us to a depth of the Word that we've never known before, not in the order of theology, but of understanding the nature and the character of Jesus Christ and his relationship with his Father. In spending this much time, we've come to the place where we're learning patience. And of course, when God is teaching you patience, there must be a testing of that patience. So this morning, we're going to read from paragraph 202 to 203. There's only 207 in this message. So we're very close to the end of this great sermon that Brother Branham brought to us. And we've been studying this for the past 3.5 years. And you know, it seems to me that we've spent as much time studying this one sermon of Brother Branham's as Jesus spent in his entire earthly ministry. 3.5 years. So maybe there's something significant here concerning the amount of time this has taken, but because we don't believe in circumstances, so there must be some significance concerning the amount of time that we spent examining this sermon of Brother Branham's. But before I get myself in more trouble with certain brethren around the world, let's just go ahead and we'll begin reading from paragraph 202. Brother Branham said from paragraph 202, he said, I love you, and he meant it. He said, I appreciate you, and he meant that too. Maybe I'll be back about Sunday a week. I'm going down to Florida now, the Lord willing, down in Georgia for tomorrow night. I got a few meetings scattered around, if the Lord leads. I've got a book full of them that Brother Roberson or Brother Borders sent me the other day. I guess there was places where there's 30 and 40 churches are willing to cooperate, but the Spirit seems to be holding me. I don't know why. I don't know why. So you pray for me, and I'll pray for you, that together may we stand. May God help us. May there be, may there not be a one of you here that'll ever fail and miss that great time coming. And I'd just like to say that Brother Branham said he had a whole book full of them, but he just hadn't the leading to take any of them. And I know what he's going through here, because I've been going through the same thing myself. Have many opportunities to go many places, but I just, at this point, I'm just feeling led to just kind of hang around. And so don't think I'm lazy. Don't think that my ministry is falling off. It's not. It's just that you have to be led by God. And he goes on to say, now I've been accused of a lot of things, friends, and a lot of things I'm guilty of. I'm neglectful, that's true. I don't know why it is. Somebody has to push me in a corner and make me fight. I don't know. That's my nature. I've done things that I should not have done, not willfully, but I plundered in it. And that's, of course, what makes me so afraid in seeing in this day, the day that we're living in. And you know, and you see now what I believe. I want to hear from God, if at all possible, before I make a move, see? Because I don't want to fail Him. I want to be with Him everywhere, and I want you to pray for me. Now, as I said, I really feel these two paragraphs are very personal for me, because I've been going through the same thing myself for the past year. Last year we made plans for big meetings in Congo, which would have been taking place this July, where the brothers there had rented a soccer stadium that would have held 30,000 people. And we were expecting some also in another location in eastern Congo, some 300 to 400 ministers for our meetings there, because the interest is so great. But something is holding me back. And then we got news that they're holding elections this year. In fact, in a couple of months from now, they'll be holding their elections. And since there's already a lot of violence in places there, and knowing that the Holy Spirit would not permit Paul to go to Macedonia because of treachery that was waiting for him, and knowing the Holy Spirit would not permit Brother Branham to go to Congo, and he had to cancel his meetings there because of uprisings there, I feel like I'm being drawn into the same vortex that Paul and William Branham had to go through. But the brothers want me to go to Uganda and Burundi, Rwanda and Kenya and many other countries, some of which I've not been to before. But something's holding me back, and until I know what it is, I don't feel like I can go at this time. Now, I'm not trying to compare myself to the Apostle Paul or William Branham as though I have some great ministry. I have nothing to offer except a yielded vessel, willing to go where my Father sends me and willing to say what He wants me to say. And that's all I have to offer Him. So I'm not trying to compare myself with nobody, because there's no comparison as far as I'm concerned, except for that Paul set the standard and William Branham filled that pattern. And I've tried to stay true to that same pattern all my life as a true fivefold minister, as any fivefold minister would do. But the comparison stops there. But what I'm catching here is that Brother Branham has been talking about the need to wait on the Holy Spirit in order to know exactly what next he was to do. It was important for him to hear from God first before he did anything. And in a sermon from the Thyatiran Church Age, from the Church Age book, he quotes the book of Revelation saying, I know your faith. Now, he does not say here, as he did to the church in Pergamos, he says, you hold my faith. Now, he's not talking about his faith now, but he is commending them for their faithfulness. And as he does, he also mentions their patience. Now, faithfulness and patience go together. In fact, patience is the outcome of faithfulness. For it says in James 1 and verse 3, the trying of your faith worketh patience. There is absolutely no other way in which to gain patience. It has to come by the trial of our faith. Romans 5 and 3 says, tribulation worketh patience. How highly God regards this outworking of patience is seen in James 1 and 5. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, lacking nothing. God's will for us is perfection, and that perfection is patience, waiting on God and waiting for God. This is the process of character development. How highly God has commended these saints of the dark ages. Patience as lambs led to the slaughter, lovingly, faithfully they serve God. That is all they wanted out of life, just service to their Lord. How great was their reward. So we're looking at the need of patience. And we're examining what patience is all about in our character development. And we see how Brother Branham said, I'm just waiting. I'm waiting on God. In Proverbs 20 verse 22b, it says, but wait on the Lord, and He shall save thee. Again, in James 5 and 7, it says, be patient therefore, brethren, unto the coming, which is the parousia of the Lord. That's His appearing. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it, until he receives the early and the latter rain. So this is the hour, the time of the parousia, that God is calling on us to be patient. James 1 and 4 says, let patience have a perfect work, that you may be perfect. That means complete, mature, entire, and wanting nothing. And again, James 1 and 3 says, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. So see that there's a great need for patience. Patience is one thing that we don't seem to have when we need it, and we have it when we don't need it. But it's something that we have to learn to develop within ourselves, and God uses trials to bring about patience. From his sermon, Paul, a prisoner, Brother Branham said, see, he knew to wait on the Lord, and there's where so many people today bring a reproach upon the word. They go out with an ambition. How many revivals have been left flat because of a thing like that? Because the evangelist doesn't wait to see what the Lord has got to say. Some of them said, come over here, and they go right now, because the association says go. And the Holy Spirit would say something different. Yet the ambition of the man to become the state presbyter or something another, or some elder or some bishop or something, was pulling. Well, you must go. And yet he knows better. The Holy Spirit saying, go here. See, he's yoked to his organization. He's a prisoner to the organization. But if he's yoked to Christ, he's led by the Holy Ghost. See, he's yoked, a prisoner. Don't make any difference what anything else says. It's a sounding brass and tinkling cymbal. He hears only the voice of God, and he speaks only when it comes out. He says nothing. Now, if I would travel like a thought, it'd be nice to be able to drop in on my brothers in the Philippines and all across Africa, but what would that accomplish if my father doesn't want me to go? So there's a reason why he is quiet at this time. Perhaps maybe we should be quiet at this time. And I must find myself in his will by doing nothing until he says do, and then going only to where he says go. For even Jesus went to heal just one man and had to walk past about 300 men to do so. And if he had to wait for the right direction, then who am I not to wait? From his sermon, Stature of a Perfect Man, Brother Branham said, when you've done exactly what he says do, seems like it went wrong, stand still. Be patient. Moses said, you know, when I was laid on the foundation, there was patience laid on there. So I'll just wait and see what God will do. There the old serpents was, crawling around, blowing and hissing at one another. First thing you know, Moses' serpent went gulp, 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 and he gulped all of them down. He had patience. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like an eagle. Is that right? See, they'll run and not be weary. They'll walk and not faint. See, just wait on the Lord. Have patience. So Brother Bram was talking about Moses came with a message to Pharaoh. When he delivered the message to Pharaoh, then he had a staff in his hand. God told him to put it down, turn it into a serpent. Then, unknown to Moses, Jannes and Jambres did the very same thing. Now, Moses didn't get riled, pick up his serpent by the tail, make it into a staff, and walk out. Get angry and say, well, Lord, you know, you're putting me in a situation I just can't handle. No, Moses just stood there. He waited. How many times have you been in that situation? How many times I've been in that situation overseas? Somebody asks a question, I don't have the answer. And so I just wait. And all of a sudden the Holy Spirit starts to move. The scripture starts coming to my mind, my heart. And out of my mouth the scripture comes. I'll give you an example. In Peru, back around 1991. The question came up, well, what about, you know, you're talking about, you know, the Father and Son, but what about Isaiah? You know, Isaiah 9 and 6, it says, for unto us, a son is given unto us, a child is born unto us, a son is given, his name should be called the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. I didn't have an answer for that. I'd never crossed that question before. And I just waited. I said, within myself, I said, Father, what is the answer? And something said, just read it very slowly. So I said, well, let's just look at this thought by thought. Unto us a child is born. Now, if he's born, he has a beginning. If he's born, and if he has a beginning, how could he be the Everlasting Father? See, if he's born, someone carried him. Someone had to be there before him. Unto us a son is given. Well, if he's given, he's a gift. Is not the giver of the gift greater than the gift itself? If he's given, Someone had to give him. Who was that? John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son." And then we begin to look step by step, and I said, "His name shall be called." What does that mean? His name shall be called. Didn't Jesus say, "I came in my Father's name"? Well, what is a name? It signifies something. And who is his Father? His Father is the mighty God, the everlasting Father, you know, all these things, the mighty Counselor. And so God, if you learn to wait, will give you what you have need of. Amen? From a sermon, "Hear Ye Him," he said, "If you ever take men that's so zealous that they want to always be doing something, God couldn't trust that person. If you notice in the Bible, the man that God used was the man who was trying to get away from all of it. That's the one that God used. Take, for instance, Paul, Moses, and so forth, trying to run from the very cause. But waiting for the go-ahead is sometimes the hardest thing to do, because we have to be sure that God is sending us, or we may find ourselves running without a message. The scripture says in James 5 and verse 10, "Take my brethren the prophets who have spoken in the name of the Lord for an example of suffering and affliction and patience." We see how Moses didn't want to go, but when he did go, he went. Paul didn't want to go, but when he did go, he went. Although he was very careful to go only where God had him go. The brethren had said, "Come to Macedonia." Paul was getting ready to go to Macedonia. The Holy Spirit said, "Don't go. There's trouble waiting for you there." So he didn't go. Brother Branham was invited to go to Congo. Actually, when it was when Tanzania and... what's the lake there? Anyway, it used to be called a different country than Tanzania. Zambia and Tanzania, they were all just one big country and they split up. I don't remember the name of the country, but he was going to go there into Congo. Holy Spirit said, "Don't go." So he didn't go. Now, Brother Branham said in a sermon, "Events made clear by prophecy. Look at the age of Noah at the climax before judgment. What happened? Noah, it was only his family that believed the man. The rest of them criticized him. And he destroyed the whole world. In the days of Abraham, only Abraham's group that believed. When the angels went and preached to Sodom, only Lot and his wife and two daughters come out. And she turned back to a pillar of salt. In the days of Moses, only the elected of Israel come out, and Pharaoh hated him. In the days of Elijah, everything almost but 7,000 men. Every one of them hated him, the whole nation. In the days of Jeremiah, why, they throwed unripe fruit at him and called him a fanatic, because he laid on his side for so many days and on the other side and taken things and made symbols. They hated him. Isaiah the prophet, he condemned that race so much till they sawed him in two with a saw." That's right. So if you've got a ministry where everybody loves you, I'd be very, very careful. In Luke 21, verse 19 says, "In your patience possess ye your souls." From sign of his time, Brother Branham said, "At one time a prophet had to marry a prostitute, having children by her. One laid on his side for 340 days, then turned over on the other side. One stripped his clothes and just everything did for signs." See? "And Jonah had to do it for a sign. Remember, Abraham had to marry Hagar against his own will when Sarah gave the handmaid. But he refused it. But God appeared to him and said, 'Listen to Sarah, because the free woman will not be heir with the bondswoman. She had to have a child to be cast out.'" What was it? A sign. All of it is signs. God does things for signs. Hebrews 10:6, "For ye have need of patience, that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise." Hebrews 6:12, that ye be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promise. You can't have faith without patience. You say, "Well, I believe." And then you're not willing to wait. You don't believe. You don't believe. You're hoping. But that's not faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's a substance. It's a reality. You know it's coming, so you're willing to wait. Like Brother Branham always talked about Abraham. 25 years he waited for the promise. And every year that went on, 15, 20, 20, he said, Brother Branham would say to Sarah, "You got the booty ready? You know, the little bobby pins where they put in the diaper pins and stuff like that." So, you know, Brother Brown said his faith grew stronger as he waited. Because he knew, hey, hallelujah, I'm getting old. For me to have a child now, it's impossible. Therefore, it's got to be God. 2 Corinthians 6 and 4, but in all things, approving ourselves as the ministers of God, in much patience, in afflictions, in necessities, in distresses. So Paul emphasizing patience. And from Uniting Time and Sign, Brother Brown said, that's what they always referred to the prophets about. They said, and he had understanding by visions from the Lord, and the word of the Lord came to the prophets of old. See, they had understanding through the word of the Lord by the prophets, and when the prophets gave a sign, like one man laid on his side for so long, then turned over and laid on the other side. One man had to strip his clothes, and oh, there's many things that they did to show the sign that they were living in. And now we know that the God who made the heavens and the earth, and so laid out his work, that he would describe his time by signs. That same God lives today. So we must be something. As a time that we're living in, there must be something that somebody's overlooking somewhere, see? Because God would never let these things happen without giving us a definite sign and where that we'd be understood. So, what is happening? Are we willing to wait? In Romans 15 and 4, for whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. Patience and understanding. Patience and understanding. If we could just kind of drill that into our minds, that if God has given you faith for something, He's going to test that faith. He's going to test your patience for that thing. That is a problem that we have with people today. They're not willing to wait on God for the moving of the waters. And so they try and work up something. That's never been God's plan. He wants us to learn how to wait on Him so that we might be led by His Spirit. The sermon of Brother Bram's is filled with examples of people who could not wait, and so they went out from God's perfect plan. All throughout this sermon, we find in just in the second half of the sermon alone, Brother Bram said, now Adam's bride could not wait. God told Adam and Eve, multiply and replenish the earth. It was an oncoming thing, a promise. But she was not his wife as yet because he had never lived with her. The bride of Christ is not his wife yet. The wedding supper is to take place. Get it? Notice, oh, this is rich. She got in a hurry, and what did she do? She crossed up her seed. That's exactly what Adam found. That's what Christ has found. Couldn't wait. That's what's the matter with the people today. They can't wait for the real Holy Spirit to take the church into its position. They've got to manufacture something, work up something, initial evidences, speaking in tongues to get more people, more members in the church, all these kind of tummy rot, instead of waiting on the Lord for the real manifestation of the resurrection of Christ, making himself known among the people. She just can't wait. That's exactly what's going on. Then again in paragraph 30, and again in paragraph 32, and again in paragraph 34, and again in paragraph 35, and paragraph 46, and in paragraph 50, Brother Ram says, all right, what's she trying to do? Oh, she's manufacturing a little jumping on the platform, not making fun of it, it's all right. She manufactures something else. Why? To get members in the church. What's the matter? She just can't wait, see? She can't wait for God to do it. They got to get members in there somewhere, so they tell them, you have to do that, and away they go. Constantly throughout this entire sermon of Brother Branham's, we have found, and we've had many sermons on this thought throughout, because these are the thoughts that he's given us. We've got to learn to wait. We've got to learn to be patient. And again, paragraph 53 said, and that's what's the matter with Pentecost today, or Pentecostals today. They're manufacturing something. They can't wait. Oh God, they just can't wait. So they commit adultery. Amen. Tries to manufacture something, and what does it bring forth? Like it did the first time. The first bride, they couldn't wait. She brought death through a bastard-born child, which we are all children of. Also paragraph 54, and then on up to paragraph 177. He says, notice how God did not move Israel until his own appointed time. Now listen, this is going to mean something. Joshua waited for that time. No matter how much people might have said, God gave us the land, the promise, let us go now and take it. They might have said, Joshua, you lost your commission. You're all washed up. Why are you not doing something? You used to do. You used to know, thus saith the Lord, and in a moment, and what was the will of God. But this wise God sent prophet knew the promise of God. but also he knew to wait for that promise, a clear-cut decision from God for his time. These parables, now watch. And when the time come, God gave it to Joshua, who had stayed with him by the word, for he could not trust others. He could trust him, so will it repeat. Like the mighty anointed prophet Moses, knew God would use him, for he had proved Moses to be a servant by his peculiar birth. All the right time that if and deliverance for Abraham's seed was at time. Are you getting it? Moses never stayed in Egypt and argued with his scriptural points with them. He never fussed with the priest, but he went to the wilderness and he waited on the Lord until people was ready to receive him. He had come to testify of them, but they would not receive him. God called his prophet to the wilderness. God had testified. He had chosen him. But the waiting was not by Moses, but for the people to get ready to receive Moses. Moses thought the children would understand that he was sent. I never wrote it. He did. So is it now. And in paragraph 189, Brother Branham says, remember, Moses, born for the work, had to wait on God for the extra gift for the job. He had to go back and wait. And for the time appointed by God, a certain Pharaoh had to be on the throne, and the people had to be wanting the bread of life before God would send him back. Now, with thousands of sign workers in the last days, has created a generation of sign seekers who knows nothing more about the true move of God in his word in these last days. You see, the people, because they're not willing to wait. Paragraph 200. I don't know where he's going to lead me. I don't know. I'm waiting. I've been waiting for a year. I may wait for 2 years. I may wait for 3. I don't know. I don't know the next move. I'm waiting for it. But I think according to the scripture, the word's been sown, and the next thing is the coming forth of the Spirit. Now remember, this sermon was in 1962. He had to wait another year, and then he went out to Tucson, and the Lord came down in a special way and opened the seals. From the rejected king, he said, but then when Saul couldn't wait on the Lord no more, Samuel turned right away from him. Remember, and the first time, not the second time, but the first time that Saul took upon himself to take over the service of the Lord, Samuel turned his back on him and he walked away from him. And the first time that the church lets their leaders take over to lead the people, the Holy Spirit gets right away from them. And the very first time that you go being led by man instead of God, the Holy Spirit will get away from you too. Let the Holy Spirit lead. That's what we need, is leadership. And God gave us a leader and we don't hear it. Isn't that what we see today? People running after men. Men running without a message. Why would someone come halfway around the world and to tell people what they already know? You know, that's the one thing that they said in Africa. They said, when the men come from America, when they come from Europe, they don't tell us anything we didn't already know. Those people in those countries, they know, they study. They said, when you came, it was different. We were oneness, we didn't know it. There's been a revival since 2002. 9 years. And going on strong in those countries. Why? Because God sent me. The brothers came to me in 2006. They said, why do you come and stir up our nation? I said, the whole nation stirred up? They said, yes. I said, well, that's good. He said, good, are you proud of it? I said, no, I'm not proud of it. But I said, everywhere Paul went, everywhere Jesus went, the Bible says there was no small stir. I said, if I came here to tell you what you already knew, what good would it do you? What good would it do me? But I said, God sent me here to tell you what you didn't know. And so it stirred the nation. That's good. It's a sign that God is doing something. From time of decision, Brother Bram said, Brother Tommy Hicks, I hear, is in a heart attack, overworked. And as I said the other night, God's people need a juniper tree. They need their rest. Let's just wait on the Lord. Then we renew our strength as we wait on Him. Don't try to do it all. I remember staying in the prayer line for 7 days and nights and eating my meal at the pulpit, determined that I would pray for everyone that come before I sat down. But there was 10 times more on the last night than there was when I started. Then I almost died. I couldn't sleep. Didn't know where I was, hardly. I was so tired and weary. Doesn't pay to do that. Jesus doesn't want us to do that. He wants us to take care of ourselves. Now that's God's prophet. Trying to do God a service. Thinking it was the right thing. And it was. It was a good thing. But Jesus walked past 300 people that could have been healed. And he healed just one because that's the one God wanted him to heal. I think Brother Branham learned a great lesson from that because he was off the field for a year and a half after that in just a total breakdown. 7 days without sleep, eating his meals and praying for the sick. That was in Arkansas. Thinking that I'd get them all in. But when people found out he was there praying, more and more came until he said there was 10 times as many the last day. And then he just broke down. He crashed. He was out of commission for a year and a half. He said, God don't want us to do that. God wants us to have our rest. He wants us to do what he wants us to do. From what hearest thou, Elijah? That's what the churches try to do. Try to pattern and mock, join something, run after this, that, or the other. Wait on the Lord. He will provide for you. What do you hear? Can you hear the voice? That bear hears the voice of God. He don't grow any snowshoes. But what does he do? He just goes out and he lays down and lays there and sleeps it off all winter. That's the bear. That's what God tells him to do. Let the rest of them run around if they want to. He just takes a good winter snooze. Why? God makes a way for him. He listens and nature speaks. I like that. Take the bear for an example. You know, we always say, take the ant for example. Run, run here, run, run there, and do this, do that. You know, take the bear for an example. You know, he spends his time gorging himself and then he lays away for another half a year. It was an old expression, you don't grow old when you're fishing. So every day you go fishing, Steve, we're going to have to get you out fishing. Every day you go fishing, you got another day added to your life. I think Brother Branham actually said that. From here his voice, he said, see, we've got too many things ahead of the Lord. You can't have the prayer meeting because Mr. Godfrey's on tonight. You can't have the prayer meeting because We Love Susie is on tonight. Or some kind of foolish nonsense like that that takes up the time. And we don't have the time to hear the voice of the Lord. And those who do claim to be Christians just kneel down on a little prayer like this and kind of homemade. And they say, Lord, bless me and my family and take care of us. Good night. And the next morning they rise and say, just guide us through the day. Good day. We should wait on the Lord. You see, we do all the talking. We don't give Him a chance to talk back to us. That if we would pray and pray until our souls come into the presence of God and then just relax and listen to His voice. And my challenge for you, not to be so, you know, super spiritual and Pentecostal, but the next time you pray, don't say a word until He starts speaking through your mouth. And He will do it. He'll give you things to pray for. The Bible tells us that when you have ought, when you have need, the Holy Spirit will intercede, and He'll give you, and He'll pray. He'll give you those things which you have need of to pray. By faith, Moses, he said, in my ministry fixing to make the change now, and I have no meeting scheduled. And that's the reason I just kind of come aside and thought, and now for the next few weeks, I would just take a rest, complete rest, and wait on the Lord. And from door to the heart, he said, I just held a revival in a place that held 20 people. That's right. But you see, I'm not out much expense. Now, the way I do it, I just wait on the Lord, and if He tells me to go to a place that's got 20 people, I'm not under obligations to the world. I'm not under obligation to radio or anything else, so I couldn't go. And so I just go and hold a revival, whether it's 20 or whether it's 5,000. In Romans 8:25, Paul says, but if we hope for that which we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. In Romans 5:1, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into the grace wherein we now stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience. And patience works character, and character develops hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given to us. Now, I know over the years, I've had to eat my words. I remember standing outside the church down in Kentucky, and I said, two places in the world I'll never go, Africa and Asia. And wouldn't you know, within a very short period of time, 3 days later, as I was taking the plane trip from the U.S. to Europe for some meetings I was going to be holding over there, I couldn't sleep. My conscience bothered me because I said I'd never go some places. And I remember speaking to the Lord and said, Lord, forgive me. I just want to be like your son. And wherever you want me to go, if you open the doors, I'll go. I don't want to open the doors, because if I open the door, then I'll not know whether it's you or not. But if you open the doors, I'll go. And when I arrived in Norway, the pastor there that picked me up, he came over from Sweden, he said a strange thing happened. He said a man came from Africa. He said the Lord gave him a vision to come. He sold a cow to get here. And I'm thinking, Africa, that's the place I said I would never go. And here God brings a man by vision to come. And so for the next few months, the man kept writing me almost every night. We got faxes about 2 a.m. until finally I took the fax machine down. And these were pages and pages of faxes. Wanting me to come, telling me if I came, there'd be 2,000 people for the meetings. And I'd say, well, if you have 2,000 people, I won't come. I didn't want to come because somebody asked me. Because somebody and the Lord are two different things. So finally I said, look, why don't we just seed the ministry over there, give me 40 ministers' names, I'll send them the books, then if they want me to come, then I'll know. We sent the books out, the 40 became 300 books, because they got them, they were so excited, they made copies, gave them to people. I got 57 letters from actually more than 57 ministers, because some letters were signed by eight brothers, asking me to come. Finally, I said, okay, Lord, you want me to go. We went, and we've been going ever since. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. So it's in the waiting that you renew your strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. Amen?
Amen.
So we need to learn to wait. Something's about to happen. Something's coming. I don't know what it is. But we need to learn to wait. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, for the examples your prophet gave to us. We see in his own life he was waiting, not knowing what was coming. And then the seals were opened. The angels came down. The Spirit came in such a fine and great measure, revealing Christ. Father, we're asking to give us that same ability to wait, to be sure. And so we just surrender ourselves as an empty vessel to thee. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. They that wait upon the Lord. Let's all stand and we'll just sing that together. They that wait upon the Lord. We'll just sing the chorus.
They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as an eagle. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Teach me, Lord, to wait. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as an eagle. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk. teach me, Lord, to wait.
God bless you all.